Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I think the reason that the story about the road to Emmaus is so compelling is because we've all been on that journey. We've all been on that road. It's not a road we want to take. It's not a journey that we like, but we've all been there, haven't we? It's the steps we take from a hospital bed when a doctor has said there's no hope. It's the steps we take when a marriage has fallen apart. It's the steps we take when our finances are in ruins and all our hopes and dreams are crushed. If you've lived long enough, you've taken those steps with those disciples, and you know what it feels like to walk along with your head down and your hopes and dreams dashed. It's an awful feeling. Now, you remember the story. These disciples were with the 11. They heard the good news that Jesus was no longer in the grave, and they did not believe it. And how could we blame them? They wanted to see it for themselves, and I'm sure they hung around for a while, hoping against hope that Jesus would appear, and he didn't. So these two men, or maybe it was Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas, we really don't know, started walking back to their home toward Emmaus. And as they walked along, a stranger came up to them, but it wasn't a stranger. It was Jesus, and they did not recognize him. Now, I don't know if it was that they were looking down. I don't know if they were so tear-filled, but they just didn't recognize him. And so he engaged them in conversation, and he asked the questions, "Why are you so sad?" And they told him their sad story. They talked about this wonderful man, Jesus, this prophet who was mighty in word and deed, but they were hoping he was something more. And they said the one sentence that I think we have said over and over again in our lives. They said, "But we had hoped." But we had hoped for a different diagnosis. But we had hoped for a different outcome. But we had hoped that life would be so different for us. But we had hoped. And they had hoped for something entirely altruistic. They weren't just hoping for themselves. They didn't say, "Well, I hope that my loved one would be healed," or "I hope that I had a better life." They said, "We were hoping that he was going to redeem all of Jerusalem. He was going to take care of Israel." When the Israelites would talk about their heyday, talk about the most wonderful part of their history, they always went back to one time, and that was the time of King David. That was the time when everything came together. They were a powerful nation. David was a charismatic figure. And since that time, the people of Israel looked back and said, "If only we could recapture that." And there was a promise that a Messiah, a champion, was coming, and he'd help them to reclaim those golden days. No longer would they have foreign rule. No longer would the poor be oppressed. And so they were looking in Jesus, they were looking for that champion. But that champion that they hoped for had been corralled and killed like a common criminal. And their hopes were completely dashed. But we had hoped. How often have we said that in our own lives? But we had hoped, and it didn't come true. And Jesus speaks to them. And it's interesting that he doesn't speak about sunshine and butterflies and hope of spring and hope of eternal life. He said, "Don't you realize that the Messiah had to suffer?" Why did the Messiah have to suffer? I believe it's because that is the only way that we would understand that God is with his people in suffering, that God knows intimately what it means to suffer. For those who have been wrongfully accused, who are behind prison walls, there's a Jesus who was put on trial, who was wrongfully accused. They know that he is there with them in suffering. I read about a story of a woman who spent 32 years behind bars for something she did not do. And when she was released, she was not bitter because she knew the suffering Savior had been there with her behind those bars. You parents know what I'm talking about. When your kid stubs his toe, you feel it. I used to hate to bring my kid for his inoculations, even though I knew they were important and he had to have them. It was terrible for me because when he'd cry, there'd be tears coming down my face. Now, I know I'm not alone. Whenever our kids suffer, whether they're big or little, we suffer with them. We feel it in our own bodies, and that is how God feels it in his own body. All those who have ever been maligned, we have a suffering Savior who knows what it is to be maligned. All those who have suffered in body, the suffering Savior knows about that. We were privileged to be at a retreat last week, and a guy who spoke, young pastor, his name is Trip Fuller. And Trip had the most awesome grandma. This was a grandma who not only indulged him when he was little, but as he aged, they would go on road trips together, and she was like the coolest grandma on the planet. And then she came down with cancer, and it was an incurable type. And so as they were dealing with this awful news, Grandma announced that she was going into a clinical trial. And he asked her, he said, Grandma, why would you do that? You're just going to torture yourself. And she said these words, I will do it not for my own sake, but because somebody else might profit from what they learn about me. So she underwent the treatments, and every week her grandson visited her in the hospital. And then came the news that the cancer was fully beaten. Now you can imagine the joy. They said, you know, her immune system is shot, but the cancer is gone, and she's will be better. We have her in isolation. The day came that he could visit her again, but she called him and she said, don't come. It was ice on the road and she didn't want him to get into an accident. So she said, I'm fine. You'll visit me again, but do not come today. I don't want to be worried about you on the road. So he didn't come. 3 hours later, he got a call that Grandma was gone. She had died, not from cancer, but an overwhelming infection. And he said, I was furious with God. Can you imagine? And then he became even more furious when good Christian people would say things like, God has a plan and a purpose. Now listen to me. Somebody in distress in this church, don't you ever say that. God has a plan and a purpose. So he said, well, what was God's plan? To murder my grandmother? Is that God's plan? Is that God's purpose to put me through this? And they'd say other platitudes about being strong, and he didn't want to hear that either. He said what drew him to Jesus was not God having a purpose, but God being with him in that distress, in that grief, in all the horror of losing his grandmother. He knew that God in Jesus was crying right along with him. It was necessary, Jesus said, for me to suffer so I could be with you in your suffering, to cry alongside with you, to be within that suffering. I know that as young parents, we want to shield our kids from disappointments. We want to shield them from hurt. And as they get older, that doesn't leave us. Let me tell you something. Somebody said to me when I was fretting over my little one, little people, little problems. Big people, big problems. And now I understand that. I didn't understand that then. We want to shield them. We want to protect them. We want to try to enfold them and so that then they're protected from all of life's ups and downs. But we know that there comes a time that if we do our jobs right, they have to leave. And when they do, and we can no longer blanket them with our protection, we can no longer make it up to them when a kid's mean to them on the playground, or when a teacher's unfair, or in all the little squabbles of life, we cannot take care of them. What we need to do is teach them that there's one who will never leave their sides, who will never leave them nor forsake them, that in all the disappointments of life, and there will be many as they grow up, that they have a Savior who understands, who's been with them at all times. This is the message that Jesus gave to those disciples. It was necessary for me to suffer. And the suffering Christ is with us each and every day, with us to hold our hands, to hold us up, and to give us grace and peace, even in the most difficult of circumstances. May that grace and that peace sustain us this day. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that when our children leave our sight and our hands, that we commend them to you. We thank you that you don't stand over against us unmoved by what we are going through, but that you embrace us in our hurt and in our pain. We thank you for this gospel. We thank you for your presence. Amen.